When Charles Taylor campaigned for the presidency of Liberia in 1997, he mixed promises for his country's future with implied warnings about the perils of crossing him.
We've led, we've not followed. And we will continue to lead and not follow. And after the elections, we will have followers as we lead.
The implicit message was the same brutal violence that Taylor promoted during 7 years of guerrilla war would continue if he were defeated. Now, as his regime appears to be near an end, we thought we'd review the life and political history of Charles Taylor. He was born 54 years ago in Arthington, Liberia. His mother was from the Gola tribe. His father was an Americo-Liberian, descended from the freed American slaves who helped settle the West African country in the 19th century. Longtime Liberia watcher Jeanette Carter says Charles Taylor grew up in a rural backwater. Carter's on the board of trustees for the nonprofit group Friends of Liberia and has lived there off and on over the past 35 years.
He wasn't part of the elite Americo-Liberian community. Those people were from Monrovia, and in fact, they tended to look down upon these more rural settlers. So no, there was no reason to think that he might aspire to being president. In the social system of that time, in fact, there was no way that he probably could have become president because he wasn't from the right families within that Americo-Liberian community.
Charles Taylor made his way to the United States for college. He graduated with a degree in economics from Bentley College in Waltham, Massachusetts. He became part of an activist Liberian student movement here in the 70s, and he was back in Liberia in 1980 when President William Tolbert was overthrown and executed in a coup led by Samuel Doe. Taylor was then put in charge of Liberia's General Services Agency. Soon the Doe government accused him of embezzling nearly $1 million, so Taylor fled back to Massachusetts. He was arrested and jailed there, and while he was awaiting extradition in 1985, he managed to escape from prison. Financial Times correspondent Mark Huband, who covered Charles Taylor and wrote a book about Liberia's civil war, says the circumstances of that escape are murky.
The story goes that Taylor was in the House of Correction in, I think, Plymouth, Massachusetts, and he saw through the bars of his cell and lowered himself to the ground on a rope made of bedsheets, which is very Wild West, but it's really beggars belief, in fact. Obviously these prisons and so on are pretty secure. So how Taylor really got out, we're not quite sure, whether he was kind of let out or the door was left open one day or maybe the key was dropped through his window. Who really knows? But he eventually did get out and managed, in fact, to get all the way back to West Africa undetected.
And from there he went to Libya, where under the sponsorship of Muammar Gaddafi, he got military training as part of a plan to wrest power from Samuel Doe. According to journalist Mark Huband, there was no clear ideology behind Taylor's rebel offensive.
There isn't really a very strong political motivation behind him. He's somebody whose troops have been allowed to commit such atrocities and whose leaders have essentially enriched themselves with diamonds and so on to such an extent that really one can only conclude that even if he did have some sort of ideology, that the aim essentially was enrichment, and he's certainly secured that. And of course the country has been faced with war for nearly 14 years, and Taylor really hasn't done anything to resolve those issues. And I think that whatever ideology he may have had at the beginning, really he's been left simply with a reputation for brutality and greed.
On Christmas Eve in 1989, Charles Taylor and a small band of rebels launched their initial attack. The ensuing civil war would last 7 years and kill an estimated 200,000 people. Samuel Doe was himself captured, tortured, and executed in 1990, but the war dragged on, with fighters on both sides, many of them child soldiers, accused of horrific atrocities. Again, Jeanette Carter.
Summary executions of people. Villages were burned. People were shot. They were hacked to death. There were things like pregnant women having their bellies slit open because the fighters wanted to see whether the baby was a boy or a girl. I mean, just, again, the horrific kinds of abuses that we've heard about. You have to remember that the war, even the first war, affected every part of the country. There's no Liberian who has not been affected in some way by the war. Every family can tell you of somebody who was killed in their fairly immediate family, and they can tell you of people who died from starvation, from disease, and so on.
Finally, in 1997, after years of ceasefires that were agreed to and then violated, Liberia held presidential elections. Here's an excerpt from a Charles Taylor campaign speech.
We are convinced that the vast natural resources of this country can be distributed in a way that there's no need for anyone in this country to be poor. We don't have to wear car tire sandals here to demonstrate that we are revolutionaries.
But along with pledges of a rosy future, Taylor wove in veiled, ominous threats. One of his slogans was, "He killed my ma, he killed my pa, but I'm going to vote for him anyway." And they did. Taylor won the election with 75% of the vote. Again, reporter Mark Huband.
One could argue, and I think with some truth, that he was elected because most Liberians knew that if he wasn't elected, then he would simply go back to fighting. And so they elected him because they couldn't face the idea of a renewed civil war. So in a sense, it's a question of whether Taylor, in his statesmanlike guise, is somebody who has done enough to raise the standard of public life in Liberia. And frankly, he hasn't. He really hasn't.
Jeanette Carter agrees and says the last 6 years in Liberia, under Charles Taylor's rule, have been an unmitigated disaster.
He has failed completely, I think, in terms of any of the promises that he made to the Liberian people. The system is in almost total collapse at this point. The formal economy has collapsed. What few people have jobs haven't been paid in months. Unemployment is estimated to be 85% in Monrovia. There is no public electricity in Monrovia or anywhere else in the country. So that's one aspect of his failure. The other thing is that his human rights record is, again, abominable.
Charles Taylor has, in principle, agreed to go into exile in Nigeria. Last month, he was indicted for crimes against humanity by a UN-backed tribunal for Sierra Leone. The tribunal says he bears the greatest responsibility for war crimes there, for a war he's accused of exporting from his native Liberia.